They said, it was not temporal. Now watch this, they're in front of the emperor. It's not a temporal kingdom. He didn't come and just die. It's an eternal kingdom, a heavenly kingdom, an angelic one. And it's coming at the end of the world. He's going to come in his glory to judge the quick and the dead. Are you willing? Are you willing to stand in front of any court and do that? And he's going to give unto everyone according to his works. The emperor despised them, but sent them on their way. See, in John 7, verse 5, it says that the young men, the brothers, didn't believe in Jesus. The mother really didn't fully understand, and the brothers didn't believe. And yet now, they're standing before kings. Such special knowledge here in the book of Jude, I think that it comes from Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit in some ways, but I believe that Jude spoke with his brother face to face. Special knowledge, really interesting knowledge that comes through the book of Jude. And if you are separating Christians at the end times, whoever believes in this book is going to be on the list. Because it says things are going to happen and we have to take and make a choice. False prophets are coming. He was a servant. Now he says to us, he was a servant. He was willingly a servant. How about us? You were called. You were called. Now, here I can go into a long dissertation concerning Calvinism and Arminianism and whether you were chosen or have a free will. Let's just speak what the Bible says, okay? And I like, actually, I have my favorite, one of my favorite words is tension. It kind of lets me off the hook sometimes when I use the word tension, because there's just some things we're not going to understand. We're just not. But here's a couple points. And let me just say this right off the bat. You were called, but you had to say yes. You have a free will, but you're called. You were elected, but you had to say yes. You had to become a bondservant. You had to be a willing bondservant. But you were elected. So let's just go through this a little bit. And when somebody says, are you a Calvin or whatever, you just say, I'm a Christian and I believe in the word and I don't understand it all. I know that God called me and I said yes. Right? That's the bottom line. Now, this specifically says that he's talking to you. Jude and the Holy Spirit is talking to you. To the brethren. To the called. This is not written to the world. This is your letter. Put your name in there. You're called. The natural man does not receive the things of God. It's to the elect, to the called ones or the called out ones. And in this little book, you're going to see all kinds of pictures of the Old Testament. Again, a reason to know your Old Testament. A couple pictures in the Old Testament will help us understand being called, okay? And choosing. Genesis chapter 3. Adam sinned. God kills an animal. It doesn't say, now he brought Adam into court, right? And he asked Adam, and he tried to blame his wife. And his wife blamed the devil, the serpent. But what did Adam say? I ate. He confessed. And so the Lord makes him a sacrifice. And the seed continues to come through Adam. Okay, so God did it. Genesis 12, God called Abraham or Abram. He comes out of nowhere in our scriptures. Go from your land to a land I'm going to give you. I'm going to bless you. And Abraham believed, right? And then later on, he got the Hagar issue and he got some of these other issues. But God called Abraham. Abraham didn't know God. God called him. Called. You are called. God came out of nowhere in your life. And we can say it came from my mom or my dad or my pastor or whoever. God came out of nowhere in your life and replaced your darkness in your heart for light. God did it. He called you. I hope you said yes. You probably did because you're here. God called. In 1 Samuel 16, God chose David. Don't you have another boy? Bring him forward, Jesse. Israel, as a corporate body. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You're not doing this for, I'm not doing this for your sake. I'm doing it for mine. He says in Deuteronomy. John 15, to the church. To the church, you are like Israel. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And if you remain in me, and says again, yet in 15:7, he says, if you remain in me and my words in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done to you. Do you see that? And yet, see, that's an interesting thing. Well, no, wait a minute. He is calling me and he's absolutely sovereign. Yes. He elected me, yes. But I have to say yes? Yes. If you remain in me, don't go away. It takes a work on your part. We have not struggled to the point of shedding blood, and yet we do have to struggle. The free will. Here's another picture of the free will in the Old Testament. Joshua 2:10. Rahab says this. I know that the God has given you this land and that the fear of you has fallen on us so that all who dwell in the land are melting in fear of you. And so she puts the scarlet cord out her window. She chose. She heard. She feared. She chose. Tamar is the same way. Ruth is the same way. She hangs on to Naomi. Naomi, kind of a loss there for a while. Remember, the book should be named Naomi and Ruth. It's a picture of the Gentiles and the Jews, the church, and the land of Israel. Naomi comes back to the Lord afterwards, believes in the Lord at the end, has the little baby in her arms. But Ruth hangs on to Naomi. She believed. She had a choice. Go your way. She told her, go away. Return. That word is repent. Repent. Go back to your house. Naomi said, no, I'm coming with you. The Gibeonites in Joshua 9 come to find salvation in Israel. So they should be, and we should be praising the Lord without ceasing. I do believe, see, here's what's interesting. I believe what the Calvinists would say. I believe in an irresistible call. I believe in an irresistible call. Because for me, it was irresistible. But watch this. Acts 7. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. See, this is tension. I can't resist him. I couldn't resist him, and he helped me through all these things. Romans 8, this should have a big red tension band all across this. Because we don't quite understand it, but we just have to believe it. And we know that for those who love God, watch the first line. You love God. Now, he's given you the power to love God. But he's given you the choice to do it as well. He says, remain in my love. So for you who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. Those who he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He called you. He called you because he foreknew you. He predestined you. He's going to send you to glory, period. You know, remember, once you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're on your way. But there's consequences for disobedience and all those things, which is for another sermon. The issue is that we are in him and we have the blessed assurance. The song this morning. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. It's not he's going to be. It's not, you know, if he's called you and you're his, you're his. That's the bottom line. The bottom line, if you called, if you heard, and you didn't resist, you're called. That's all you need to know. By the way, this is pictured in Genesis, these five steps in the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Israel and even the church. These five steps are found there. So back to Jude 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, but not only that, they're beloved in God the Father. Beloved in God the Father. John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. My Father will love him. And we will come to make our home with him. John 16:27, I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved him. No, wait, I thought you loved me first. He did love you, but then you loved him again. I mean, in return. It's an and both. It's not or, it's both. If you don't love him, there's a problem. And if you love him, then you must believe that he loved you first. This is wonderful. I mean, you're sitting back again with your coffee at the beach, and you're thinking now, wait a minute, he loved me first. He called me? You should be dancing or something. David danced. Let's not get hung up on that. But I'd do it in my bedroom maybe or something. Dance. Dance like you have joy in your heart. Sing, because he put joy in your heart. God, I don't know why you called me, but you did. And you gave me the power to become a child of God, and now I'm returning my love. Okay, if you love me, keep my commandments. You got it. It's a done deal. Except don't ask me to love my neighbor. You're that cranky old person over there, you know. Oh, him or her too. And that dog in the backyard. Ugh. Did I just say that? Beloved is used in Jude here in verse 1, verse 3, verse 17, verse 20. The same word in the Hebrew is used of Israel in Deuteronomy. I'm not going to go through all the verses. It says, let the blessed of the Lord rest in him. These are the beloved. The beloved of God is used of Solomon and Nehemiah. It's used of believers in Psalms 60 and 108. By the way, they all need delivered. In the New Testament, it's used. It's a common title in 2 Peter, of which, by the way, this book is written on the heels of, and he's quoting or alluding to 2 Peter in so many ways. I think, again, Peter is very helpful with Jude. It's a common title in John, all the way through John and all the epistles, or several of the epistles, and it's used by James, Jude's brother. This word is beloved by the Father. It is a word of childhood. It is a word, I am his child. He loves me, period. But I don't feel loved by God. You know why you don't feel loved by God? Because for two reasons. Three reasons. One, you have this tent here. See this tent? It's getting old and it gets broken. And we fall down and we break our nose or our whatever. And we go, I'm not loved by God. No, just pick up your feet and walk. And by the way, notice that you're 61 years old now and you're not 12. So you're going to fall down. I told you a couple years ago I had a bike wreck. And I thought everything was fine. Can you see two fingers? Yeah, I can see two fingers. And then 3 days later, I'm walking down the stairs and I fall over because I had a slight concussion. Things are going to happen. God hates me. No, he doesn't. In this world, you have tribulation. Don't ride your bike so fast or whatever. And the term father is used in the Old Testament. People, I've heard this say, it's not in the Old Testament that he's our father. Well, why does he call Israel children in Isaiah 1:2 and so many other places? Isaiah 63:16, you, O Lord, are our father. Can't get clearer than that. So he is and has been the father of Israel and the elect and the called and the beloved. John 1, you remember, he's given us power to become children of God. Romans 8:23, we're adopted as sons. Okay? So that's plain. So I hope that you know you've been called. He loves you. He adores you. You can't climb up on his lap because he's not here. But if you go into your bedroom or wherever to the beach and you just curl up with a cup of coffee and I keep saying coffee, I know, get some chocolate and get your Bible and curl up and rest in him. Trust that he loved you and called you according to his purpose. What purpose is that? I don't quite understand it. Just keep walking. Just keep walking, Habakkuk. Just keep walking, Jeremiah. I'd like to name all your names here today. Just keep walking. Keep walking. It's the word father is used for the Jews. It's used for the church. It's used for Christians. He is your father. You've been adopted into the life and family of Jesus Christ. Now, number four on your page there, blessed assurance to the kept. To the kept. So I called you, God would say. I love you, but I'm going to kick you out of the house and you're on your own, right? Oh, no. I'm going to keep you. There's something really interesting that happens with Israel. He calls them. He does not fill them with the Spirit like he does the church. He calls them and says, obey me. They couldn't. He kicks them out of the land. Now, if they still believe, they're saved. Well, that's another issue. But he didn't fill them with their Spirit, with his Spirit. You know what he did with us? He filled us with his Spirit. And so you are kept. You can't be taken. He's not like one of those givers. Can I use that word? I used it as a kid. Racial term now, I guess. He doesn't take his gifts back. He didn't say, Raymond. You know, I didn't know you were going to do that. I'm taking myself back. He didn't. That's not God. Because he foreknew, he predestined. And then he loved you. And now he's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. Well, have you seen the guns a-blazing? I have a ball, a cannonball come across the bow of the ship yesterday. Did you see that? I'm scared. I get it. I get it. I turn on Fox News and I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of this. I'm afraid of our nation going the way it is. I got you. I got you. This is not your nation. I mean, it is our nation as citizens of the United States. But our citizenship is where? Amen. Boy, so many people know that. Our citizenship is in heaven. I love America. I hope she turns around. But if she doesn't, I know where I'm ending up. We're on a train, one-way track. And it goes there and it stays there. It's in heaven. We are kept. He's going to keep you. Have no fear. Have no fear. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you. See how it closes? You got the A and the A. He is able to keep you. That's why he said you're kept. Oh, Lord, I know you created the heavens and the earth. But this is beyond you. Oh, no. No, no, it's not. You are kept. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. With great joy. That word stumbling is like he's going to give you the footing of a horse, a very strong horse. You're not going to be moved. You're not going to be moved. Now, again, in our flesh, we're going to fear. We may sin. Hopefully we don't. All the Old Testament, all these examples that we're going to see, they all sinned. David sinned, all them, but they were kept. Israel is going to be kept. She's in sin right now. And she's going to be kept. And finally, John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to make this statement, folks. If you are called and you are circumcised by the Spirit in your heart, you cannot be lost. You can't be, even by yourself. Now remember what John said. If they go away from us, they were never of us. So he seals you and you can't be lost. Or we're liars of what God says. Finally, Jude verse 2. Watch this. This is fantastic. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Well, what's so big about that, right? We've seen that over and over by Peter. He says it at least twice. Paul says it several times in his epistles, right? No, he doesn't say this. Peter didn't end with this. Peter ended with grace and peace. Why does Jude use mercy? You remember the difference, right? Everybody else is using grace up to this point. Grace. Getting the things, what? We don't deserve. He just rains down grace upon us. Grace. What's mercy? Not getting what you do deserve. Jude. That's scary. No. That's assurance. That's blessed assurance. Lord, do you see what's coming out in front of us? Do you see what's happening within the church and within the world? And remember, this again takes me back to Habakkuk. What did Habakkuk cry for when he said the Babylonians were coming? When he saw the darkness coming, what did Habakkuk cry for? Mercy. Lord, have mercy in your wrath. Just before Revelation, just before the unveiling of Jesus Christ and the seven trumpets and the seven scrolls and the seven bowls, just before all of that, Jude has the wherewithal by the Holy Spirit to say, have mercy, and let it be multiplied, because it's going to get tough. And then he says, have peace. Now that has been used. Have peace. He's going to give you peace. He's able to give you peace to these times. We get caught up in what's happening on TV and in our lives and in the families and stuff, and we just kind of lose our peace. And the Lord says, look to me. You've got peace if you want it. Just rest in me and know that you have peace. And by the way, love multiplied. Multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. And we honor you, Lord God. We know that you are able, by your creating power, to sustain us and to keep us and to multiply peace and love to us. Each one of us knows that we have been called and that we are in your Spirit and in the house of Jesus Christ by your love and your power. Now pray that you encourage us, Lord, and have mercy. Have mercy, we pray. Help us to sing a song, Lord God, to you, and lift up our voices and meditate on you and love you and share your word, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.